At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, Star Wars fans. Welcome to another episode of the Starlight Podcast. We have our star-studded crew as per usual. Jonathan Bates, a.k.a. Daddy Sheev.
What's
up? And we've got everyone's favorite lore master, Lord Dagovir.
Ooh, lore master. You know, that's a topic in itself. I actually do not like that title. I think it's very conceited. Yes. I like to see myself as an enthusiast because nobody is a master.
I love that a lot, actually. I love that a lot. Now we're no longer lore masters. We are lore enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Because we can always learn. Always.
Yes. Always learning. I love that. Okay, cool. That's a good way to start. We're some enthusiasts with Star Wars. We're some enthusiasts with the lore. And we're going to talk about some lore here. But as always, we're going to start with some Star Wars news. Ahsoka Season 2 wrapped filming this week. What do we think about that?
I'm excited. I'm really excited. Oh, yeah. Look at Dagovir. He's ready. Dude, you already knew what we were talking about. Where'd you get that? That was actually fire.
Heroes Villains. Probably one of the best Star Wars sites that you can get. Fantastic store. Amazing catalog. And when you wash the certs, they do not wrinkle.
That's big time.
Yeah.
Gonna have to look into that.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm pretty excited about this about the show, guys. I mean, I'm looking here at Shin Hadi's actress posting on Instagram where she says, and I quote, "A whole lifetime live. Thank you for being a home to us these past 7 months." Heart X at Star Wars at Ahsoka official at Pinewood Studios. So I'm assuming that's where they shot everything.
Interesting.
And yes, yeah, 7 months of filming. So I'm not sure usually what the turnover is, but I know this show has a show have an official release date next year yet. Like, is that official?
I'm assuming it's going to be the final quarter.
Okay. We don't actually know yet. Okay. Yeah. But the fact they just finished filming now, and it sounds like that gives them plenty of time to edit and put things together. And I'm grinning because I'm excited. I'm thinking of all the things that, we could get in the new season, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you guys know that my favorite series is Ahsoka series, but I understand like how terrible a lot of the choreograph is in that, although none of it is with that Anakin Skywalker episode, baby, because that is just peak. And that's actually probably why I love the Ahsoka series. But even with all those flaws, even with all those issues, I am still immensely excited for Ahsoka the White coming out of Lord of the Rings lore. Oh my gosh. Am I going to see Baylan again? Am I going to see Shin? You know it, man. I'm freaking ready to go, man. I'm ready. Where is it? Oh, and the soundtrack? Don't even get me started, okay?
All right, we're back.
What the hell was I saying?
Yeah, what the fuck were you talking about? Sorry, I just...
You were talking about the soundtrack. You were talking about enthusiasts, you know, Star Wars enthusiasts.
I'll just chop it up.
The Ahsoka story and the lore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it ended on a really cool point with that being the Mortis gods and Baylan standing on a statue of the father. So the more lore that we get into that, because that's one of the most interesting parts of Star Wars to me is that arc in particular, because I have no idea what the hell is going on with it. So if we're going to get more into that, we're going to get more into kind of like the cosmic ethereal force with Ahsoka, because she does have the spirit of the daughter inside of her. And also, like you said, she's Ahsoka the White now. She has almost ascended into another level of the Force. I'm all about that. And maybe we get some more Force ghosts. Maybe we get, you know, some not gray Jedi, but some different forms of Force users, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the podcast. But that to me screams excitement. And I hope it's some more stuff with Thrawn. Like, we're gonna get deeper into this Mandoverse. We're gonna get deeper into adding other parts of other projects, maybe some references to this, some references to that. I wonder if it's gonna tie in any with like the Mandalorian and Grogu, because that's the next project that's slated for Star Wars. So there's a ton that kind of plays into this series now that we're kind of going into this Filoniverse, and I'm super excited.
Yeah, can't wait.
Damn. So I have a couple little like insights and questions.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get anybody fired, but I know specifically how Thrawn is in the expanded universe, and I think everybody else knows. And I think there's a lot of people that love that character have a hard time adjusting to live action Thrawn when it comes to his motivations, when it comes to his, it's just like, you know, he is actually like dead ass like evil for evil's sake in live action. But when you read the books, you know, it's very different. He has this whole counter motivation when it comes to the Chiss Ascendancy and trying to build the Empire to help the Chiss Ascendancy, you know. So it's very interesting how that dual phase character works. And we know that it's been confirmed several times that Timothy Zahn is not helping out in any way, shape, or form when it comes to live action, because Lucasfilm does not want his help. And he himself has said that. So for me, I do want to see some more depth to Thrawn, even though he's a fantastic character. I want to see this whole different take on the Chiss Ascendancy, because, you know, Star Wars fans that only watch movies don't know about that. They just see a blue guy that's evil. And where's this guy during the entire original trilogy? You know, nobody really knows when you're only watching the movies. Exactly. Yeah. So it's going to be really interesting if they dip into that at all, or if he's just going to be a guy that is trying to rebuild the empire and gets assassinated by his own people. You know, so I don't know what's going to happen there, but I need to see that, or version of that.
Yeah,
I
I
don't
agree.
think I.
Oh, you got it, bud.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're gonna touch the Chiss Ascendancy. I don't think that
It might be too
it makes
complex.
sense. It's too late, honestly. It's too
That
late
too,
to
they
touch the
haven't like
Chiss.
ever talked about it at all
No.
in any forms of media. And part of that could be because he originally showed up in Rebels, which is inherently a kid's show. I feel like if they brought in the Chiss Ascendancy, that's a little more complex. Maybe that fits the tone of Ahsoka, but at this point, it's probably I need to rebuild the Empire, New Republic, go bye-bye is probably what we're gonna get.
You know, one thing I love about Ahsoka is a lot of people knock the world building, but I think the world building is actually exactly what you need for the Star Wars universe, especially going forward, because we see Peridia and what's outside the galaxy far, far away. You know, the only time we really see that in the Star Wars movies is Kamino, because you have the Rishi Maze, and that's kind of not, ne it's not necessarily on the same plane of the Star Wars galaxy. You literally have to go outside or above the Star Wars galaxy to get where you need to go in that area, which I think is also really interesting, because when you see Kenobi build that up with Yoda, he's like, yeah, the planet should be like right here. So that's like the first time you really get to see, like, from an in-universe standpoint outside of Empire Strikes Back, what's happening inside the galaxy. Now, I don't have a problem, or I don't see it as unrealistic, if Thrawn is sitting there and he's like, well, my people knew about Peridia before, you know, because he is from outside of the known galaxy, and Peridia is also outside the known galaxy. And it's almost as if they're building up to something much grander than just the Star Wars galaxy.
I would love that. I think the further that we expand, the better,
Yes.
because Ahsoka inherently is going to be tied to Anakin Skywalker, the Skywalker legacy,
Yes.
but she's not really, like, we don't know her story. We don't know how it ends. So at some point, she's going to have to break away from all of this. I don't think she'll be involved with Luke's Jedi Academy. It doesn't really make that much sense. She may even go off and form some sort of her own idea of a Jedi, or what a Jedi
I
should
think she
be.
dies. That's a hot take. I don't know if that's what you guys think. I think she might like either die in the show or like maybe she becomes a Mortis god, low key.
I hope she doesn't die.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have wanted her dead for a long time, and I understand
Well,
the
not that I
whole,
want her dead, but
No,
you know,
I'm
she
not
has the
speaking.
daughter's like spirit in her, so I feel like if she dies, like
Yes.
she ain't dying. Maybe she becomes some kind of like force god, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because, and if anyone's seen the Mortis arc, which I think is a very important arc for anybody to see, because that was one of George's babies and a very interesting part of the XO whatever that he was introducing to Star Wars, which is very different from the movies. Ahsoka dies, and then the spirit of the daughter is basically allowing her to res be resurrected. So that's really interesting. Is that going to have some type of value later? I assume so, because just like I talked about Peridia, they did introduce the Mortis overlords at the end there, where you see the father, son, and the daughter's statue is destroyed. Of course, Morai is always following Ahsoka, and for people that have watched Star Wars Rebels, we know that Morai is kind of the representation of the daughter's spirit as well. So, yeah, I could absolutely see that as a plausible theory, but her dying, I don't think is gonna happen, because I think she's even more important than she's ever been to the plot of where this story is going. And since it introduced Thrawn, since it introduced Mortis, which is a whole spiritual complex layer of Star Wars, I think that it's possible she could be going in another galaxy somewhere else.
Yeah, to me, it makes sense that she is removed from the timeline or like this galaxy, because she is going to, kind of have her own paths. And it doesn't make sense for her to be here during that time of the New Republic and all of these different things, because she's nowhere to be seen with Luke's Jedi Academy. She's nowhere to be seen guiding Luke at all. I think if Ahsoka was there, she would help guide Luke past whatever happened with Kylo and whatever happened with Snoke, but she's not there. She's somewhere else. To me, it makes more sense that she's alive. It does make sense, Johnny, what you were saying, kind of as like almost like the moon spirit in Avatar, where Yue sacrifices herself to save the moon. But I hope it doesn't go there, because I want to keep seeing Ahsoka, because Ahsoka is one of my favorite characters in Star Wars.
Oh, Ahsoka is one of my favorite too. I'm just thinking kind of like the end game. Like, well, first of all, too, like, how are they getting off of that planet? They're just kind of hanging out right now. Like, we got Ezra home, but Ezra gets there and he's like, yeah, hey, Hera. So yeah, Ahsoka and Sabine are trapped on this unknown region planet. We have to go get them.
Going right back. Going right
I
back.
gotta go back again and get lost. But yeah, I'm just thinking, like, with the grander lore of Star Wars, with them introducing these really cool concepts into live action of Mortis, the Mortis gods, unknown regions. Like, I don't know, I just the end game for Ahsoka for me, maybe she doesn't die in this series, but I feel like maybe eventually, like, because I agree with your points, like she could potentially set up and still be a part of the Mandoverse and other new Star Wars projects. But I feel like at some point, like, she's never really gonna be dead. I feel like because she has the daughter spirit, she will be involved in somewhat of the greater mysteries of the Force. So.
Yes. I think that's actually very realistic. I've actually just put a link into our Discord, because when The Rise of Skywalker had come out, Rey is hearing everybody's voices. And, at that moment, everybody's like, what the hell? Ahsoka's dead? That's kind of crazy. What the flip? And then, Dave Filoni on his own personal Twitter decides to upload this photo, and it's with Gandalf. And he says, and the photo says Gandalf is speaking to Ahsoka, and it says, they thought I was dead too once. And I've always thought that's interesting, because that to me signified that her story is going in a different direction. She's alive at this time. And when you really think about it, she doesn't really know Luke. It's not Anakin. It's that father son, whatever relationship, the mentor student is not there. But I can see something happening where they end up crossing paths again. And then, hey man, that's cool that you're doing this Jedi thing, but my journey is this way with my Padawan and my master, and also maybe my also adopted tutor Shin, that I also now have to teach because she's kind of just been left behind. But anyway, I think there's a lot of stuff that you could do with Ahsoka, and I think eventually she will become more important over time, because she's also like a very important character for people that grew up with her. You could say that she's arguably like the daughter of Anakin, and I think that's a very good way to look at it too, because she grew up in Clone Wars in 2008. Like, this is a generational character, and all these other generational characters are dead. So I think it's important at the very least, while yes, she should have died and probably should have died many times over, but right now, let's not do something in the wrong time. That's the right move, so I think that maybe we should see where this is going, see where Sabine's character arc is going, or at the very least, what Ahsoka is going to do later on, because that is what I'm excited for the most. Because yes, if we are introducing the Mortis gods, what else are we introducing? Yeah,
True.
I think
And oh, you got it, Connor.
though you're I think that going off that, like the Luke stuff, she isn't even really like a Jedi. She was never back into the order. Everything kind of went to chaos at that point.
Gray
So
Jedi.
she's not like loyal to the order at all. So it makes complete sense how she's just like, yeah,
She's
like,
more of a force being than a Jedi.
yeah, Luke's like, oh my God, I'm gonna bring back the Jedi Order. And she's like, cool,
Have
dude, I'm
fun
gonna head
with
over here. I'm gonna head over here. So that to me does make a lot of sense. Go ahead, Johnny.
I was just gonna say something that came to my mind as we were talking about Ahsoka is it brings me back to George wanted to kill Ahsoka in Clone Wars, and Filoni was the one that was trying to think of ways not to kill her. I remember watching, I can't remember if it was a webisode or some kind of interview that I watched where Filoni was talking about in season 5 of Clone Wars, okay, how, like, where's Ahsoka's story end? And George was the one, like, yeah, like, kill her. So, and Filoni was like, no, I'll just have her leave the order. So, that's kind of a fun way that they ended up doing it, because now we have the Ahsoka show. She's been in Rebels, and, she's a big, like, character in Star Wars. And I remember seeing the 2008 movie when it came out. I was a little youngin'. And Ahsoka was not the most popular character, but my goodness, has she grown on the fan base, and I think is a great character for Star Wars.
Yeah, I really love that character. And I will tell you right now, bro, I did not give a shit about that character. I did not care about Ahsoka. I did not care about Clone Wars. I did not like the Clone Wars, because I thought it just looked, I just could not deal with it.
How dare
Someone,
you?
I know, crucify me. But someone that grew up with like Toonami and that was watching Dragon Ball Z and Pokemon, and so when I watched the CG stuff, I don't know, it didn't feel like Star Wars. But as I grew older and I wasn't such a punk ass, then I started to really appreciate those things and different stories and tones and mediums. But when I saw Ahsoka in Star Wars Rebels, that was a character that I really could get behind. Yeah, I really appreciated her struggle. I finally understood what it all meant, and I saw the vision. And it's funny because, Connor, you also said this is like, in this moment of time, a lot of people don't think that she is a Jedi. And I would argue, or I would agree with you, yes, up until the Ahsoka series. I think that her becoming Ahsoka the White is more so of her getting back in the groove of being a Jedi. And this is okay, I am a Jedi. That's her moment of being a Jedi. I think, yes, possibly she could be something more, because at the end of the day, she is Anakin's apprentice. So there are many things and many routes that she could be in tune to, that she could evolve into. And I would love to see her story go beyond that. But yes, is this a pathway where maybe, like so many other characters that we talk about, like F, maybe she goes into another galaxy and does her own version of what she feels should be the Guardians of Peace and Justice.
Yeah. I'm curious to see if we're going to get more, if we're going to get a conversation with a Force ghost Anakin, or
Probably.
I mean, it would have to be Anakin, really. It makes no sense for
Well,
anybody else.
what
I
about
mean,
Obi-Wan?
both of them, both of them. I don't know why that didn't happen last time. I
Where's
like it's
General Kenobi? Where's my guy?
The thing is too, I know a lot of people argue about the whole like, it's fan service. No, it's not fan service. This is shit that has needed to happen since the sequel trilogy, in my opinion, because this is a character that has also been around since 2008. So arguably, in my eyes, this character has more, I guess you could say, right. I don't like saying right, but this character has more legitimacy of being involved with these stories going forward than an original character, a new character. So I feel like at the very least, yes, this is how she started, because it's not just Anakin, it's also the legacy, or what people say, the tragedy legacy family tree, which is also Obi-Wan Kenobi, because in Clone Wars, that is also somewhat of her master too. So I don't see the issue of the fan service. This is something that is moving Ahsoka's story, which is also moving Sabine's story and potentially Shin's. So this is something that needs to happen, and they all need to be introduced to.
Yeah, Dagger, that's a good point. In Clone Wars, Obi-Wan does refer to Ahsoka as our Padawan. If you guys remember the Onderon arc at the end, at the funeral, he says that verbatim. So it makes sense to me. I agree with you, Dagger, that he should make an appearance, and he was on Mortis before. Like he was in the trenches with Ahsoka and Anakin when they were there in Clone Wars. So if they can
Oh.
make it work, now I understand sometimes. And I feel the fan base sometimes when certain characters make appearances, like, oh, it's just fan service. As long as they make it make sense that he pulls up, I'm all for it. Give me
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor part. I'm ready for him. I need him back.
Do these characters forget everything that happens in Mortis, right?
Yes, they do. They
Everyone's
don't
mind is
remember
blanked.
anything.
Wait, they
Yes.
did?
They
I thought it
everybody's
was just
everybody,
Anakin's
yeah.
mind.
Yeah. No, everybody,
Everybody.
nobody has any idea. Even Ahsoka, which is also crazy because she's got
Right.
Morai following her,
No,
you know.
she knows who Morai is.
No, she's
She may
basically.
know who Morai is, but she does not know what happened on Mortis.
When did this when did their mind wait, when did this happen?
At the very end of the episode, I think it's the second or third episode. I think Mortis is a two episode arc or three episode arc.
It's a three
At the
episode
end,
arc.
yeah, at the end
Yeah, they wake up
where
on
they
the ship.
first initially, yeah, where they first initially get, you know, sucked into Mortis, at the end they're all literally just passed out, and then that's how they wake up, and then they the start the Dreadnought picks them up.
We also hear Qui-Gon's voice in there as well.
Yes. Well, because Qui-Gon shows up on Mortis, and which is really interesting, because when he's sitting there and talking to Kenobi, he says something so important that a lot of people miss, and he's talking about all the force in the universe flows through this spot, which a lot of people believe that the force doesn't go outside the Star Wars galaxy, you know. So that's also really interesting, and that George was right there too. So there's a lot of stuff coming from this specific episode, that arc, that I think probably has so much ramifications of what's going to happen in future stories.
Yeah,
Are you
I
talking
saw.
about
Hold on, I'm
are
reading.
you talking about a multiverse? Is that what I'm hearing coming out of
No,
your mouth? Please
absolutely not.
do
No,
not say
no.
that. Don't. No,
Multiverse, you
no, no, no,
say?
no. Absolutely not. No. No, this is one universe, guys. We got to chill with that Marvel shit. All right. This is not
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, mess me with that.
Dude, it's not
No.
Spider-Man.
No. So, no, I'll humor you, okay? But in Star Wars, especially source books and legends, there are so many different realms, and there are so many different, I don't want to say universes. There are dimensions, and it's all confined into one specific universe. There is a lot happening, and even outside the Chiss Ascendancy, you know, or the Rishi Maze, there is so much happening, and I can't even begin to tell you all those things. It's literally like an entire podcast that we have to go over. Maybe we will for Halloween, so I can show you guys all this crazy stuff that's out there. But it also gives you a little bit of breadcrumbs to show you where the future of these stories, I think, is going to go. And Mortis is also attached to that.
That would be fun. Yeah, we should do that for Halloween.
Because, like, there are different dimensions inside of, like, what I'm thinking of is like the cave on Dagobah, or like
Yeah,
on
between worlds.
Octo when Rey goes inside of that like weird dark side hole, and then
Yes.
she pops up like all wet. Like something is happening that is not of the like physical realm. So,
Yes. The
and obviously
force is
Mortis.
mysterious.
And there's other stuff, and it's so interesting to me,
Yeah, like
like
the
that
Netherworld. Remember
aspect of
those
it.
like
Yeah.
force gods from season six, Lost Mission, when Yoda does his like force training?
Oh,
Dude,
those are
even
supposed to be wills,
the
but
wills.
they were
Yeah,
saying,
even
yeah.
that like is really,
Or the
really
priest's wills,
interesting.
I can't remember the priestess of the will, I can't remember. But yes.
Yeah. There's some cool concepts there, and I feel like we're gonna get some of those here in Ahsoka.
Yeah, there's a bunch. I mean, even in the Trial of Soul comics, they're showing you the netherworld of the Force, where Anakin's body, or Momin, that's where Momin comes, So there's a lot of like really interesting stuff. But yeah, I mean, I feel like that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more. But it's really just about what's digestible for the movie only fan base. Because I also feel like Mortis was a, or the World Between Worlds was a risk, but it wasn't so groundbreaking that so many people are like, well, it is, this is time traveling. No, it's clearly like in the realm of the Force. I think that's why Anakin was there. I think he's a very important piece. And you get a little bit of taste of what not just Force ghosts can do, but what the Chosen One can do.
The void.
Yeah, the legend.
To me, I equate the the World Between Worlds almost as just like a dream world where you're not conscious of
Well, it's
being
Gateway.
inside of there almost. Kind of similar to what we see in Shadow of the Sith, where Luke is like having a vision almost, and he's like he's not present on the when he's himself, he's inside of that vision, but he's somewhere else physically. So it is like such a weird thing that's hard to understand, especially for like a normie who watches the movies. You're like, what the hell is going on here? So we were talking about some Force users who don't really fit the mold of a Jedi, a Sith, light side, dark side. And we've got some of those in Ahsoka, specifically with Shin and Baylan. And you were talking a lot about it on your stream, Dagavir. What do you think they are in terms of a title, or do they go beyond that?
Yeah, I mean, I would honestly classify them as Dark Jedi. That's how I would classify them. Because when you see Baylan Skoll talk to Shin, they have morals of a Jedi to a certain degree. But Baylan is very outspoken about the flaws of the Jedi, but he is not evil towards Ahsoka. He is actually very empathetic, and he's also remorseful of the Jedi Order being destroyed. He even cares at the ideology of Ahsoka being destroyed in that final episode. But when you see Shin and you hear Baylan talk, and then you see their orange lightsabers, I think it's really interesting to potentially, like, did they find these lightsabers, or was this based on their ideology and their connection to the Force that entombed these crystals to be the first orange lightsabers that we've seen in live action? I do think that they're Dark Jedi, or a version of a Dark Jedi. And you could even see the way Shin acts a lot. She's very aggressive. She uses Force Choke. That is not a Jedi ability. So I think that is all in this tutorage and mentorship that Baylan has teached her and refined her into this Jedi slash warrior, because he even says, no, you were trained in the ways of the Jedi arts. So I would like to see what they call themselves, because we also hear a word that I've never heard in Star Wars before, Boken Jedi, which is like a different type of Jedi, or a strain or branch that isn't from the actual purity of the Jedi Order. So there's a lot of really interesting ideologies specifically based off those two.
Yeah, and I mean, didn't Dave Filoni say in an interview that he purposely made their lightsabers a hint of orange to like signify that they're not like full Sith? I'm pretty
Oh,
sure he
interesting.
said, what's up?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was, let's do some Googling. I'll Google that in a second. But I'm pretty sure that was intentional from Filoni to like convey that message that they're not full Sith. I agree, they're probably Dark Jedi, because the way even Baylan like presents himself is still like very Jedi-esque, if that makes sense. And even Shin asks him, like, do you miss it? And he's like, he misses the idea of it, but not the truth. So, and he's looking for the truth as he marches to Mortis, dude. Ah, oh, I can't wait. I
Here's the
can't wait for
quote.
that.
Here's the quote from Dave Filoni.
Oh, thank
And
you.
this is from CBR. Filoni says, I made their lightsaber blades a little bit more orange. And he's talking to editor. He's like, that's a really good eye. You're the first person to catch that. That was very intentional. I didn't make them just stark red. I remember as a kid that Vader's lightsaber kind of fluctuated from visual effects to being a little bit more orange. I didn't want to go straight up orange, but it's identifying a little bit of something to kids that they may not be straight up what you think they are in the beginning. It's good to you that they caught that. Nothing is accidental.
See, Filoni cooking.
To me, that seems like he doesn't want to tell people that they're this new entity. You know what I mean? Oh, Vader's in the 70s was a little bit red or a little bit orange. But I think as a story writer, like he says,
Little
nothing
ambiguity.
is unintentional, you know?
Yeah, even in their armor too, like you see like it's gray and darker black, and there's shades of different stuff, and their lightsabers too almost seem like Baylan's and Shin's. It almost seems like Baylan's lightsaber is like related, or Shin's lightsaber is a descendant of Baylan's lightsaber. It's really interesting the way that they've made those designs.
And I have some of Baylan's quotes up here. What he says, the one that stuck out to me was, "What I seek is the beginning, so I may
Yes.
finally bring this cycle to an end." And that to me is his mission. He's going beyond the Jedi, beyond the petty Jedi and the Sith and the Empire. I'm going for something bigger. I need to stop whatever this cycle is so that I can find the truth of the Force. And whether or not it is the truth of the Force, I'm actually so curious to figure out how he knows about, like, obviously he's at the statue of the Father. Like, how does
Yeah, how
he
does he know about
know?
that?
What does he know about the Mortis gods or like that other plane
God,
of
would he break into
existence?
the Jedi archives? Does he get the exclusive issue? Like, yeah, how does he know about them?
Yeah, but no one else has been to Mortis. Like in my
No,
head, there's not going to
not
be.
that we
Well,
know
this,
of.
yes, yeah, that we know of. Like, and that's something to me is that's not going to be in the Jedi archives. Like, oh, there are these
Well,
overlords.
in Rebels, the art of the daughter, the father, and the son is in the archives of the Jedi. Like that art piece that I forget his
That's in
name. That weird.
Ahsoka too.
Lothal?
That was
That's
on
in.
Lothal.
Yes, that there was a so there was a picture that I forget his name. That like Imperial dude that was talking to the Emperor. When he's interrogating Sabine, he's like, "I
Yeah.
found this art piece in the Jedi archives,"
Oh
and it
shit.
showed a depiction of the son, the father, and the daughter. So
Okay.
the
So
Jedi
it's
knew about
similar
it.
to the one that's on Lothal, basically. And it's also similar to the grams that Luthen has in his office.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay, so
So they
okay,
know
that's
about
really
him.
interesting. Yes. And then if we also want to know about these things, you know, we know the Emperor has been collecting things for years and years and years. And some of these things are Jedi artifacts. A lot of these things are Sith artifacts. So perhaps he had some of his Inquisitors and Shadows go out there and retrieve these things that maybe even the Jedi didn't even know about. But even still, I mean, you're talking about the John of the Jedi stuff, in my opinion. And even when you look at the behind the scenes stuff that's on the Ahsoka DVD disc, which I have, they start talking about Pretty and how Pretty is supposed to be this like incredibly ancient planet. And I'm pretty sure when they're talking about the technology that the witches are using, I'm pretty sure that they even said that it predates or is more ancient than the Jedi. So that's something that I think is going to be really interesting, because if Dave is all about this, you know, everything is intended, you know, this is not by default, this is not by some mistake, everything is intentional. Okay, then. So maybe you're cooking, you know, because I even when you're talking about Baylan and talking about like how he was looking for the beginning or the end of everything, whatever. In that scene, when you listen to that soundtrack, there's also certain sounds cues that are happening as if there's like this ancient monster calling to him or roaring in the background, like it's Jurassic Park that's also on there. So, because there is another entity that a lot of people probably won't like that is also affiliated with the son, the daughter, and the father.
Is that
Give it to
is
us.
it yeah what do you
Avalon.
know? What do you know?
Avalon.
No,
Avalon.
no,
Avalon.
no,
Yeah.
you know
Oh,
things. All
Avalon,
right.
dude. Avalon. You know, I think Avalon gets a really bad rep. And her story wasn't even finished because guess what happened? Disney bought Star Wars. And I understand that Avalon is extremely omnipotent. Like, this is a Marvel character in the Star Wars universe. But I love tragedy in Star Wars, and Abeloth has a very tragic story. But I don't see why you cannot bring a version of this character into the Star Wars universe if she isn't an upgrade. And when Balin is standing on the hand and finger of the father of Mortis, why is the daughter's statue destroyed?
Because she died.
I don't, here's,
Can you explain
here's
Dagavir who had this Abelov?
Abeloth. Yes.
Yeah, can you
Yes.
explain for the audience and myself who that
Yeah.
is specifically?
So too long didn't read. Basically, there was a mortal that fell in love with the father and the daughter and son, and she was not an overlord like them. So she was mortal. She was going to die, and so she ends up basically obsessing over love, and because she doesn't want to die and she wants to live with them, she ends up going to the very forbidden parts of Mortis that basically gave her powers. And in this power she was seeking, to just literally stay and live, she became an abomination. And it altered her DNA and gave her insane amounts of power to the point where she changed herself and was literally like exploding with power, that the family that she loved literally had to imprison her. And she was that powerful to the point they needed to make a whole space station, alter this like dimension of this whole cluster of planets and several black holes that had to imprison her. And it's supposed to be managed, by the way, by celestials and everything else, and they are dead because Anakin Skywalker killed them.
Yeah, so she's
So
just breaking out of
no
prison.
one is there making sure that this person isn't going to blow out of the darks, out of this prison that she's in. And I've also had this crazy theory that the person that was keeping her at bay the entire time was Darth Sidious, because he's powerful as hell. But Darth Sidious is dead now. So who's keeping her at bay?
Yeah, to me, it seems like Balin's purpose is something that he's been almost told or
Yes.
has seen in a vision where something
Vision.
is calling to him, where he has
Which she
to
also does.
fulfill this mission.
The light flicker. It wasn't the light was flickering, right? Like that was like maybe he saw that in a vision.
The light flickers, but also Abeloth is known to lure people in via sirens.
Yeah. Well, he says, I mean, he also, I'm looking at the quote right now. Something calls to me. Can you hear it? Something stirs here. Can't you see it?
Yeah, dude.
There's something that is, oh, God.
That's
Listen,
cool.
so
Dude,
yeah. When
Balin's such
this,
a cool character. Oh, God.
yes, now he is so goddamn cool. When
That's a, he's an aura.
this series comes out, we're going to go back to my 2018 podcasts, and then I'm going to tell you that I had predicted this. So, okay, that was 2018. And so we'll talk about that then. But right now, it's no one knows anything, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm locked in
Yeah.
to Balin and to Shin.
Dude,
And I'm
same.
so curious to see what's gonna happen with like them and Ahsoka. Like,
Yeah.
because he you are right, because he's talking in these, it's like there are so few Jedi left, it'd be terrible if to kill
Yeah.
her would be a shame. Like,
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got some good in him still, but it seems like, yeah, he just has like a higher purpose or a higher goal that like is bigger than Jedi or Sith, which
Yeah,
is
something is influencing him. Yes,
Mortis. I think something is influencing him, but it could also, there's other things out there that are, I guess you could say, on the same realm of Abeloth, like Waru, who's from another dimension. But specifically, like Mortis here is really interesting because the father, son, and the daughter are there. And that to me is really interesting because what if there is something else outside of Abeloth? There could be. Maybe it's
The
a different ver yeah. Yeah, the Bendu, man, gosh. I
Bendu.
think that's also really but I think the Bendu would meet Ahsoka more than he would Balin. Because I think the Bendu is very particular about who he shows himself to.
He would know Ahsoka.
Yes, exactly. And I
Because
think
they
they would
met
have
once.
history. Yes. And there's also, yeah, exactly. There that concept art that's out there too
Yep.
with them. So I think that there's a lot specifically that maybe there is an anti-Bendu or something else. I've always liked the idea of byproducts of the Force existing, almost like this is a different franchise, of course, but almost like the nameless things that are in Lord of the Rings, where the whole world in Middle Earth was created, but then something else emerged that was not of the God's creation. And I think that's really interesting too, especially when you have the Force played into it. What if something existed in Star Wars that was of the fabric of the Force itself, very similar to Anakin, but an organism or an intelligence or an entity?
Yeah, and if you're Baylan and you survive Order 66 and you're lost and you're trying to cling on to something you don't know anything about, you've lost faith in the Jedi, you are not a Sith, and something calls to you and keeps calling to you and keeps calling to you and then gives you a purpose. You're snatching that up right away and doing whatever you can to get there, which he is doing. He is getting there somehow to Mortis or to wherever he's looking to go. I think he's gonna get there. I'm looking at this concept art right now with the Bendu.
You see it?
I don't want to trigger you,
No, see, I just giggle every
Dagger
time I bring up the Bendu, just the rage bait dagger. It's so
here.
funny.
I just don't like his
I
ideology.
know, I
I
know,
just
I
think
know.
he's a
We've talked
I just
about
think
this
he's
a
a
lot.
coward. That's all.
It's just funny to me.
He's
But we
like
talked before, he might make an appearance, so get ready,
no,
buddy.
he should. He should. I think, listen, I think that if you're bringing parts of this into Star Wars, there needs to be, there needs to be all of these things. But I think it's really interesting because, Bendu's been in the first scripts of Star Wars. Abeloth has not. Mortis is interesting because it's also a product of George Lucas. So there's a lot of ingredients that he's playing with. I just hope that it's executed well. Because if anybody's seen any of the photos that they talked about with the ending of the or the finishing of the filming, they're in front of this weird structure that has no relevance to us, but I think it's going to be really important when we see this series. Maybe it's going to be in the
Structure.
finale. There's something that they're taking
Oh,
the photos in front of. So
yeah. Ahsoka and is that Sabine?
Sabine, So I think that's interesting too, because how does Rebels end with Ahsoka and Sabine? How does Ahsoka start with Ahsoka and Sabine? We've seen the concept art too for years now with Ahsoka and Sabine. So, and I think this is probably the final or the ending of what they're probably getting to. I don't know, man. I'm getting a lot of it's going in a different galaxy and realm than what we're going to be used to seeing. Because if Baylan is right, if he's looking for this stuff, then anything that happens with Thrawn is irrelevant to him, because what he's seeing is going to have the final say in everything else. So it's a necessary evil, or it's a necessary step to get what he wants.
Yeah, he just needed to get to the planet. I mean, he could really probably care less about what Thrawn does. He just needed to get there in the first place, so.
Well, in his mind, it doesn't matter who is like the power at play right now, because he wants to destroy them both. He wants to move past the cycle. He keeps talking about the cycle of good and evil, or the cycle of the Empire and the Jedi and the Republic. Like, he wants to get rid of all of that pettiness, which is why I think there's some sort of higher being that is, maybe he's being promised like to become a Mortis god. Like, maybe he wants to take the place of the father, where there's obviously something he's going to die. So, like, maybe he has,
Yeah, I feel like he's gonna die, and that's a good point.
I don't know. I feel like if Ahsoka is going to be this embodiment of Morai, then there is going to be another embodiment of something else. And the seeing them clash so much already in the first season, I don't see him being disposed of so early. I really hope it's not a Snoke thing where you're building this guy up and then he just dies, middle of the series to
Last Jedi
enter
mentioned.
somebody else. But I like Baylan a lot, and I think that his characters should be at the very least, die in a movie.
Yeah, and when I was talking about dying, I was talking about like the father. Like, the father is dead. So
Well, he's speaking
there's.
about him being like Lord to the
Right, like, maybe that's what somebody's whispering in his mind, like, hey, you could be a Mortis entity. You could become immortal, basically, and
Yeah,
ascend
true.
into a father. Anakin didn't do it. So like you can. He knows a lot about Anakin, so
Oh
he knows
yeah.
a lot about Vader. He knows like there may be something in play there where it's like, oh, he didn't have the ideals that I do, so I'm gonna be able to control
Damn.
everything.
That's so crazy. I didn't even think about that because if this mother trucker n absolutely knows, I mean, maybe Baylan knows that Ahsoka and Anakin were on Mortis. And I feel like the only way he would know that is because if someone else was
Someone
there.
told him.
Oh my
Yeah.
God. Yeah.
And maybe it's
Can't
the
wait.
son that's whispering stuff to
Yeah,
Baylan
dude.
and being like, yo, come here. And then the son wants to do something, obviously taking advantage of Baylan. Like something is happening in Mortis that we don't know. And Baylan knows that something is happening and trying to get there, whether or not it's to become a Mortis god, whether or not it's to do whatever. You know, he has a purpose and he is driven to get beyond this realm, and he's gonna do it at some point. And I think Ahsoka is gonna have to be there as well to try to
Yeah,
stop him.
just because of her connection with Morai. Yeah, she's gonna have to pull up. That's probably
Damn.
how they get back to the. That's probably how they get out of, the unknown regions.
Is through Mortis or between the
Probably.
world between worlds,
World
like.
Between Worlds, Mortis. Like, probably that's how they get back, if I had to put my finger on it.
So
Or the Purrgil.
yes, I think the Purrgil is probably the easiest idea because she's already spoken to the Purrgil. I don't have a problem with her doing that again. But there are force abilities that can allow her to manifest and appear out the other side of the galaxy. I think of the what are they called? There's a certain specific race that is that is literally like the first like force monks that even know abilities of this thing called Flowak, which is not necessarily time travel in Star Wars. It alters minor details so you can basically walk in the time flow of Star Wars and just alter, like, oh, maybe he wore a red shirt instead of a blue shirt that day, or maybe he waited a second to speak. It's just very small things, and you find out about this later in these Star Wars stories with Darth Cadus and New Jedi Order. But I wonder if they're going to start introducing other species and ideas of Star Wars too, because you have those little crustacean guys that Ezra was hanging out with, and of course you saw the witches, which was really interesting, but you also saw those castles and structures that were on Peridia, which also had Zepho text, which is crazy too, on there with all the fault in hieroglyphics. So I think that's interesting too, because a lot of the font on there is talking about that demon Zepho that was there that helped, that basically made them all turn to the dark side and went crazy, and he was like that chaos god. So I don't know, like pretty is very interesting. The idea of them being there is interesting, but I don't think they're going to be stuck there, and if they are, they're probably going to be following Baylan, honestly. Yeah,
Yeah,
Rose
and
taking over.
yeah, I think that's what's gonna happen. They're gonna have to follow Baylan to do something. Like
Yeah.
they realize that he's going somewhere. So yeah, that makes sense. But I'm like super excited now for what this plot could be.
Yeah,
Yeah.
just us talking about it. I have to go
Yeah.
rewatch Ahsoka now.
It's so good, man. I love that show.
Don't think
I
I've
don't like the
watched it
first.
since it came out, so I need
Yeah.
to watch it again.
Outside of The Mandalorian and Andor, I have watched Ahsoka the most because of the episodes with Anakin, and I just love them on Peridia. I think it's really fun. A lot of people don't like the way Peridia looks because it's dead, but I think that's the
I
point.
think that's the point. It was
Yeah.
like the
Yeah.
origin. Like, of course, it's going to be dead and destroyed, like, mostly.
But also, it's surrounded by the Purrgil graveyard, you know,
Yeah.
so there's something calling these things there to die. You know, I think that also could be a part of the whole siren thing that's going on with Baylan as well. Yeah, I just think there's a lot of really fun and interesting mystery, and I think that if Dave Filoni executes the story correctly and it has the right production that we want, people will probably be coming back to the series and say that, hey, this was a really good starting point for this.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I hope it's
I
good.
wish we got something like that for the Acolyte, please. Not to bring it back to the Acolyte, but I just wish that we get a second season.
Don't think that's gonna happen, bud, but I'm excited for Ahsoka season two, so.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good spot to wrap it up for this week.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Good stuff, guys. You got me
Any
warmed.
last words? Anything more you guys are excited for coming in the next week in Star Wars? Get any Lego?
I did.
I
Did.
did not purchase the gingerbread AT-AT yet because I'm under the impression I'm getting it for Christmas, so I don't want to buy it and then get it again. I mean, I wouldn't mind to. It'd be kind of cool. I could have a duo of them on my shelf back there, but I'm still waiting for some before I pull the trigger on some Lego stuff. Did you get some stuff, Dagavir?
I wasn't able to get the gingerbread Vader because it was sold out. Like,
Yeah, it's
it
a
was sold
popular
out,
set.
bro. Yeah, dude. Like, I saw people scalping it, so it's like actually kind of crazy. But I did buy it on the Lego store. It's on back order, so when that comes, it'll happen, whatever. But yeah, excited for Star Wars. Lego's awesome. There's a lot of good stuff out there, man. I can't wait. I'm just excited for Ahsoka. I like that show. I know it's not the best. I just really enjoy the potential.
Yeah, I feel like the potential is definitely there. Just from our conversations, there's a lot of cool directions they could go with Mortis, with these World Between Worlds, with all this cool Force stuff. And just talking to you guys has got me more excited for it than I was. So, can
And
we
that's
sim to next year? Sounds good.
That's the point of doing this. Not only to get people who listen to this excited, but we also get that little jolt of Star Wars dopamine talking about this, at least for me. So,
Right into the veins. Yeah.
yeah, absolutely. So, if you're still listening to this, may the force be with you. Have a good night.